Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 49 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real brother, not sorry, brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
You can follow us on Twitter and YouTube at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back to any of our past podcasts and download FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. Please rate and review on iTunes. That helps us go up the algorithm charts. You can email us any questions, comments, wishlists, fullyposable, WFP at gmail.com. And Scott, I'm running out of W's, so I need your. I may be tapping you for some W's.
I've got Warlord and Ultimate Warrior. That's as good as it's going to get.
I've already used those. I can't do that anymore.
I cannot be of any more help to you. I'm sorry.
Haven't you been listening to the past 50-something episodes, like, hearing all the other W's that I gave out?
I don't pay attention to this part, dude, unless it really sucks.
You give me a glare every week.
Yeah, that's true. And then I tune you out, no pun intended.
Oh, Tune. That's our last name.
Very good.
Thank you. Okay, so this week, the P and W will be synced up.
Oh.
Yes. The P and the W will be PJ Walker.
Okay.
The former Aldo Man, what was it?
Montoya? Aldo,
yeah, him too. And F as in Sawyer Fulton.
Oh, good job this week.
Thank you. I used Bobby Fulton and then I heard the name Sawyer Fulton, so I thought I would stick with a Fulton last name.
Not bad.
Yeah, exactly. At gmail.com. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
Actually, I did not, but my wife did. She went to Big Lots this past week, and she had actually been there a couple of weeks ago and found the Becky Lynch and Sting, the Surfer Sting basics.
Uh-huh.
And they were like $9.99 or $10. They were $10. And we were like, okay, that's a little bit too high. Don't buy them. Well, unbeknownst to me, Shannon took those two figures and hid them in a different part of the store.
Okay.
Went there this past week, I believe it was Tuesday, and texted me from Big Lots and goes, hey, all of their toys, including WWF, are 25% off. And I was like, oh man, it's too bad they don't have Becky and Sting still. And then she shoots me a picture with her holding them, and she goes, they're still in my hiding spot. And I was like, and this is why I love you. They also had, I believe it's Elite 40 or 41 that had the Sami Zayn in it, the NXT with the NXT belt.
Yeah, Elite 40.
Elite 40. They had all of them except for Sami and Rick Rude. Those are the only two they were missing. So Shannon also picked up a John Cena Elite for the grand total of $7.50. So she got a Sting Basic, a Becky Basic, and a John Cena Elite for like $22,
$23. Oh, nice, dude.
Yep. And then my Ultimate Warrior from Amazon that cost me all of $6.38 came in this week. So it was a good toy spotting week.
Nice, man.
Yep. Not too shabby.
What do you think of the Surfer Sting?
Love it. Love it. I just bought it to open it. I'm going to open that Warrior Legends Elite as well. I really wanted that one opened up. So, yeah, that was my good toy spotting for the week. I did also go to Walmart, and they were pretty flooded with figures, a lot of older ones, a lot of old battle packs. They still have the Then, Now, and Forevers. And I did see one of the Turtle WWE guys, and it was the Undertaker one.
That one is my second favorite of the four.
Yeah, they had him. I kind of looked around to see if they had any of the other three, but they did not. They only had the one. So I can say that I finally found him out in the wild, but not the entire set.
It's funny. You got to buy all four of those. It's not like you can just collect one and that's it.
Yeah, you can't buy one without the other three. It just, it does not work. You've got to buy all four as the set.
We did do toy spotting this week. We went Christmas shopping all over the place, and man, I found a whole lot of nothing out in the wild. The only thing I would say that I found is Elite 44, I believe it is.
Okay.
With Sasha, Braun Strowman, the Ultimate Maniac, Macho Man. I found those. I knew that our local listener, Sergio, wanted Braun Strowman, so we messaged him. He said he still needed it, so we picked it up for him. So him and I will be meeting up after the holidays to, you know, give him the figure and stuff like that.
Nice. Where'd you find him at?
Oh, Target Alameda.
Oh, okay. Nice. Right in your backyard.
Yep, exactly. So we went there. We also picked up two of the Blind Box mystery figures. We got John Cena, who I already had,
mm-hmm.
and Seth Rollins, which, okay, cool. But I was really wanting that Razor.
Still haven't gotten the Razor, huh?
No, it's still missing, dude. It looked like those boxes had been messed with.
Ah, they broke the Contra code.
Yeah, so you move one and then it throws everything off, so.
Yep.
So anyways, that was basically my toy spot this week. I did receive the Dudleys from Amazon. I got those two figures for $24.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, Bubba was like 11 and Devon was 13 something. So I got those for $24. I also got the Charlotte and Ric Flair battle pack. I just wanted the Ric Flair figure because the Ric Flair is just awesome.
Yeah, it's a great Ric Flair. One of the better ones they've done.
Exactly. I got to say about the Dudleys, Bubba, his arms don't look right. It's an okay figure, but the Devon is spot on.
So the Bubba has like freakishly large arms or something?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like, maybe it's the way he's in the package. Maybe I need to take him out to kind of play with it and make it look right. But it just doesn't look right. But the Devon, it's got the perfect smirk. The Devon is nailed.
Nice. Yeah, I'm still looking for those two. I'm probably going to end up picking them up off Amazon. It's either those or I want the battle pack of the Dudleys. That looks really cool too. But I noticed on the battle pack of the Dudleys, Bubba's arms look really like just long. Like they don't match up with his body very well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's way it was with this Elite.
That's weird. Why can't they get Bubba's arms right?
I don't know.
Bubba's arms and the Divas faces. Really weird.
How come you wanted Lemon Becky? Out of curiosity.
I just have to get her first basic. I've got Charlotte's first basic, Sasha's, Bailey's. I had to have Becky's too.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was kind of curious. I mean, earlier this year, we shredded that thing and then...
Yeah, but it was only $750. I had to have it. I'm definitely still getting her Elite. But yeah, Shannon found it for $750. I'm like, yeah, I got to get it.
Nice. Okay. I was just curious.
I'm still going to rip it though.
You're going to put a lemon next to it.
Exactly.
Becky, did you want a piece of lemon?
Why the sour face?
Oh, I like what you did there. All right, Scott, let's get into this news.
All right.
You didn't know?
Mattel didn't leak this week, but there was something on the Wrestling Fig Forum's message boards that said that for Series 2 Hasbros, now, again, don't know if this is true, what kind of waiting for a bill from Mattel to kind of reveal this, but, or maybe it could have been him, because I know he goes on the message boards, but Mattel Hasbro Series 2, man, we haven't gotten Series 1 yet hitting the shelves, and we already got Series 2 leaked.
Yeah, they're really building this excitement, man. I can't wait to see these things.
Oh, they're playing off of our emotions right now.
Big time.
This is the rumored lineup, unless Bill confirmed it. Mattel Hasbro Series 2, Kane, Triple H, Stone Cold, The Rock, Sting, and Mankind.
Some of the biggest names from the 90s, and we're going to have them in Hasbro form. My question is, okay, so there's no pictures, but the Sting figure, is that going to be his WWE look? Is it going to be Crow Sting from WCW? Is it going to be Surfer Sting from NWA/WCW? Which era Sting?
I honestly think it will be the Crow Sting, WCW time.
Agreed. It will be that one. Mankind, will it be like when he first debuted in WWF? Or will it be the shirt and tie and the mask Mankind? Mm-hmm. Kane, which Kane will it be?
Oof, good question. I don't know.
Yeah, see, these are all like really cool questions to come up with and anticipate the series too. I'm excited. Which Triple H? Long pants from the 90s?
Long hair?
Yeah, the long pants, long hair, like D-Generation X Triple H, or the game Triple H with the trunks? Obviously, Stone Cold and The Rock, there's not too much debate on which one you'll get there. Stone Cold to be, I'm sure, is traditional vest, trunks. The Rock, well, you know, it could be his old look.
What look?
Like his late 90s look, as opposed to his new look with the bald and the tattoo and all.
I think it's going to be late 90s look.
The late 90s, so his flat top, like fanny pack Rock?
Yeah, because you actually mentioned that there's a lot of the big names from the 90s, so I think they're all going to have their 90s look. So I think it's going to be Mankind when he first debuted, Sting, Crow Sting, I should say, typical Stone Cold, and I think late 90s Rock. Just a personal opinion or what I believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, because that definitely is a late 90s driven, like Attitude Era. I mean, apart from Sting, but like an Attitude Era set. So hopefully it really captures all those looks. Man, what a cool set Series 2 is going to be. Could you imagine? So, okay, they've done kind of recent and throwback with Series 1, but could you imagine, since Series 2 is Attitude Era, if they went like full 80s on Series 3? Like if Hogan is back in their good graces and they do a Hogan and they do a Savage.
And a Flair?
Oh, yeah, dude, you do a Flair. Oh, dude, what if they did Magnum TA in Series 3?
Oh, dude.
A Dusty Rhodes, a Piper. And dude, what if they start doing tag teams? I mean, I'm like salivating. Like, I'm thinking about like the Road Warriors, NWA Road Warriors in Hasbro form. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm getting excited, dude. Like, I'm starting to already like plan their next 3 years worth of these figures.
Now, my question to you is, when you get these figures, are you going to try to get some of them signed if the guys do come around?
No. No, these are off my signing list. I don't want any of these signed. I'll save that for the Mattel, the big series ones. Definitely not the Hasbros. I do not want these signed. I'm actually considering opening these.
Oh, speaking of signings, WrestleCon, I was going through the list when they're in Orlando.
Right.
They have so many names, like Killer Bees are going to be there.
Oh, dude, nice.
Strike Force is going to be there.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm getting all my jacks and putting them into a hard suitcase and taking that with me.
Did you get the Killer Bees Classic Superstars?
Absolutely.
Oh, nice. You're going to get those signed. Dude, that's awesome.
Yep. I can't wait for that. And I saw today 3/4 of Four Horsemen are going to be there.
Who's not going to be there?
Arn.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope that changes.
Because he's under a WWE contract, so I'm thinking he may not be able to be there.
Dude, you should start tweeting him and find out which Access he's going to be at and just get a general admission ticket to Access that he's going to be at.
Is he on Twitter?
I thought everybody was on Twitter.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Dude, how sweet would that be to come home with that 4-pack signed?
Yeah. Bucket list complete.
Yeah. Goals, dude.
When I'm not hanging out at the FTC booth.
Yeah, right? Pissing off Chris.
Yeah, pissing off Chris. Chris is going to be like, dude, Ric Flair's over there. Go, go. Here, I'll pay for your autograph. Yeah. Go.
And take your lawn chair with you, dude. It's a bad look.
And your sandwiches suck.
Yeah.
God, speaking of FTC, what you got?
So FTC did another reveal this week, and that reveal was Sanjay Dutt.
What'd you think?
I really like it. They did show the head scan or the head sculpt. They showed what his outfit's going to look like. I've never been a big Sanjay Dutt fan, but again, they're really capturing these figures really well. Between the costume and the head sculpt, they nailed it again. I mean, everyone they're hitting now between Brian Cage, Chuck Taylor, last week with Bull Dempsey, dude, and then this week with Sanjay Dutt, they are really bringing it. Like I said, not a big Sanjay Dutt fan, but if you are a Sanjay Dutt fan, even if you aren't, you're really going to like the look of this figure. And if you are a big Sanjay Dutt fan, you really need to pick this one up.
The head scan, in my opinion, was good. Or the head sculpt. I thought it was good. But what really got me was the jacket. I thought the jacket was flat out awesome.
Yeah. You know, if FTC is really going to be able to hang their hat on anything besides most of the head sculpts, it's the outfits.
Yeah.
This is what really sets them apart from elites, in my opinion. No molded crap with FTC. You get none of that. This is the quality stuff that we talk about with the cloth or whatever it is, the pleather, whatever, just custom fit to the figure, and it looks amazing. And yeah, they nailed another jacket. You're totally right.
The Sasha Banks Elite, I saw that the other night, as I mentioned earlier, And I saw the molded jacket and I was like, okay, the molded jacket's pretty cool, but it just doesn't hit me. It just doesn't wow me.
Yeah, I don't feel that it adds any value to the figure. But when you see like Michael Elgin, for example, or Jay Lethal from the FTC line, it just feels like added value with that accessory.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are taking their FTC AJ jacket off of AJ and putting it on the Elite AJ. And I'm like, it still doesn't look right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The figure that you're putting it on doesn't really do the jacket justice.
So that wraps up FTC. Scott, I think it's time to go back in time.
Let's go back.
Let's go back to the year 2000. What was this, 2007? This is also 2007, huh?
Yeah.
Let's go back to Jack's Classic Series 14. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. Scott, Jack's Classic Series 14. Who was in this list? Who?
Jack's Classic Series 14 consisted of Honky Tonk Man, and he was in his black jumpsuit. Diamond Dallas Page, and this was his, he was in his WWE look when he debuted and he was feuding with Undertaker, but he had the big gold belt with him.
Mm-hmm.
Demolition Axe, Demolition Smash, and they came with their black, the outfits that they wore to the ring, so their ring entrance gear. Abdullah the Butcher, Mean Gene, the Ultimate Warrior with his IC title, Sensational Sherry in all white, Rick Martel, and he had a pink sweater around his neck, so this was model Rick Martel. Bob Backlund, and he came with a towel, which his manager threw in and cost him the heavyweight title. And one of Jeff's favorite figures, the Stone Cold Steve Austin LJN style throwback. And I guess there were two versions of this one. On the side where it was supposed to be blue, I guess some of them were black.
Yes, I actually have the black card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy about that, actually. I remember I went to KB Toys, looked for it on one weekend, and then the following weekend went back to KB Toys and looked for it again, and I was like, wait, what's this one? And because you're thumbing through the figures,
yeah,
and I'm like, what is this one? And because I was looking for the blue, I was looking for the blue side,
yep.
And I was like, that's a weird looking Austin. And I pull it out, it's the LJN. I'm like, oh man, they went back to the regular traditional black card. I was like, that sucks, because the blue one with Taker is that blue siding is what made it or made it stand out.
Right. Exactly.
So I was kind of disappointed by that. I was like, oh man. And then ends up there were actually two.
Yep. So you never found the blue one then?
I never found the blue one.
Oh.
I actually have that Austin sign too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's the one I got signed over at San Francisco, the debacle in San Francisco.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. I've got the DDP and the Mean Gene figure signed out of this set.
Oh, you got the Mean Gene signed?
Yeah, remember when we met him at Wrestle Reunion and he told you were a little light in the footwear?
Oh, yeah, because I was wearing flip-flops.
Because you were wearing flip-flops. You were light in the footwear.
Favorite figures out of this set?
Dude, you know what? I liked them all.
This was an excellent set.
It was. I don't have a least favorite out of any of these. They all look fantastic. From Honky Tonk Man all the way down to the LJN throwback, man. Even Backlund, as funny as it is, man, every figure was good out of this.
The Sensational Sherry, she was in like an all white outfit. And
correct.
I thought that looked, I couldn't find that one. I still to this day have never found that one.
I've never seen it on the shelves ever.
Never saw that one. My favorites, though, it would be the Demolition Axe or Smash.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Those two are my favorite out of this set for sure. You know me, I always mark out for the face paint, but those figures, they did an excellent job on. Big fan of those, so those are my favorites out of this one. I just can't pick a least favorite because I liked them all.
The Ultimate Warrior one, that was kind of a weird look they gave him.
Yeah, they were going for a lot of warriors. It was like they got him finally for Series 1 in this line, and then just continued to just pummel you with Ultimate Warrior figures, which, you know, I'm okay with. But yeah, some are your least favorite, some are really, really good. But yeah, here's another warrior.
Yeah, because he had like a, it was almost like a flesh colored outfit. It was almost like his SummerSlam 92 outfit.
Right, kind of a different look.
And he had like a weird look on his face, like he was chewing an apple like Carlito or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was like, well, what are they going for on this?
Yeah, and he had kind of like, if I remember correctly, what is that, kind of blondish hair a little bit?
Yeah, it was like he had been out in the sun for, I don't know, like 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
He was down at Venice Beach kicking it with Hogan or something.
Mr. Jim Helwig, sir, you put a little bit too much sun in your hair. Good figure, though. I liked it.
Yeah, the honky was good, too.
Yeah. Oh, the honky was so good. And not a molded jumpsuit.
Right, exactly.
Cloth. Pay attention, Mattel.
I liked how you mentioned when you were going down the list, the Diamond Dallas Page. It was kind of his WWE years look.
Yeah.
But he came with the big gold belt.
Best of both worlds, I guess. But I would have preferred DDP, and they've done him since, but I would have preferred the DDP from like 97 when he was feuding with Macho Man. Go ahead and package him with the US belt or the world title, the big gold belt. But this one was okay because they eventually did release that DDP.
So yeah, this was a really cool set. I remember when I got the Austin signed. Are we still doing any more signing stories? Are we done?
You know, I'm going to have to look at my collection and try to remember, A, the guys that I haven't talked about already. I have a tendency to repeat myself in my old age. And then look at the other ones that are signed that I haven't talked about and see if there's anything significant that jumps out at me. Because a lot of times you're being rushed through and they just sign it and move you on, you know, so there's not a whole lot to talk about. So I don't want to say the segment's dead yet. But if anything, you've got a lot of figures that you could tell some stories about. So it could be story time with Jeff.
We're getting the Austin signed. I get up to him. I push the figure over and he looks up at me and goes, "How you doing there, kid?" I can't do a Steve Austin voice.
You sounded more like Johnny Ace right there, but that's okay. Continue.
And he reached out and I shook his hand. Like he was one of the ones that I was kind of starstruck over. Like, oh, you know, it's Steve Austin.
It's Austin. He was arguably a bigger draw than Hogan. So yeah, that's absolutely an acceptable time to be starstruck.
That's a debatable one.
I said arguably.
Arguably. But Austin reached up and he goes, "How you doing, kid?" And I go, "I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you doing?" And he goes, "Man, I'm having a blast here." And he was one of the only ones after day one that still had a good attitude going into it. Because a lot of those guys, a lot of the wrestlers bounced after what happened. And you can go back and do a Google search on that. And you'll read what happened at the Cow Palace in 07.
Right. But keep in mind, Austin was only there because A, he had been paid up front. B, his airfare had been covered, and C, his hotel had also been covered. And if you were to throw in a D, his transportation had been covered as well to and from the hotel. So he was covered 100%. That's the same reason that Goldberg showed up.
Yep.
So the big names had been taken care of at that show. It was the smaller names like Animal and Christian and Demolition and DiBiase. Those were the guys that got stiffed big time. But your big names like Goldberg and Austin were covered well in advance.
Right, right. So Austin grabs my figure and he starts to sign. And the pen that he has kind of started to wear out.
Oh.
And he looks at the pen and he goes, "Goddamn piece of shit doesn't work." And he chucks it behind him. He goes, "Hey, give me another pen." And he signs it. And he goes, "How's that look?" And I was like, "It looks good." Unfortunately, he signed it in Sharpie. I didn't know about paint pens at the time.
Of course.
He signed it in Sharpie, and now it's starting to kind of fade. So if I ever see Austin again, I'm going to try to get him to re-sign over that figure or something.
Oh, yeah, that'd be sweet, dude. Or, hey, the Hasbros are coming out.
Oh, yeah, Series 2 Hasbro.
Yep, I've made my stance clear on those. I'm probably going to open all of mine. But if you're keeping yours on package, dude, you could have him sign the Hasbro.
Or his defining moment.
Oh, yeah, that one, too, would look really good.
Scott, Jack's Classic 2-Pack Series 3.
Yep. That had two tag teams and another pairing that I'm going, what? Better than Series 2, though. So, that one consisted of the Bushwhackers, the Wild Samoans, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
So, with that one, I think they were trying to not mimic, but kind of capture WrestleMania 21 when him and Piper, Austin and Piper were in the ring for Piper's Pit segment.
Yes, exactly. They were getting that. Fine, I understand. No, I don't know that it's deserving of being so early in a 2-pack series.
Right.
Whatever, that's fine. But the job that they did on the Bushwhackers and the Samoans, awesome.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job on those. I never got any Bushwhacker figures after the Hasbro. Actually, you picked up the Bushwhacker Hasbros.
Yes.
I never really collected Bushwhackers after that.
So you didn't get the Superstars, the Classic Superstars, and you didn't get the Mattel ones?
Nope, never did.
Interesting. Because remember, they did a couple of 2-packs of, I think it was in the Legends line. They did a couple 2-packs, and it was Bob Orton and Roddy Piper, And those, I actually got those signed by both of them. And then they also did Sheik and Volkoff and the Bushwhackers. So you didn't buy the Bushwhackers in that either?
I didn't get any of that set.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I saw those all the time.
Yeah. They were pretty prevalent when they first came out.
Yeah. They only did one series of those Tag Team Legends and that was it.
Yeah. Man, I wish they had continued that.
I know, right? I mean, hopefully they're going to go start touching back on that like they did with, you know, Magnum TA and...
Yeah, I'm hopeful too. I mean, they just did a Heart Foundation, not a two-pack, but they released them both in an Elite set. So yeah, I'm hopeful that they keep going that route. But man, they were certainly on the right track here with the Series 3. They're giving us a tag team from the 70s and the early 80s, and then you get your late 80s, early 90s tag team in the Bushwhackers. Then you get that odd pairing that seemed to be what they were going for some weird reason, in a Series 2. But overall, Jack's two-pack Series 3... I really like it. I say the Samoans are probably my favorite out of that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, the Samoans were excellent.
So, Scott, your surprise question this week, it's actually going to be our surprise question. I think you're going to have fun with this one.
Oh, are you in this one too?
Yeah, I guess it's now our surprise question.
Ah, okay.
The listeners have now turned heel on both of us, dude.
Yes, they have. I'm glad you are also taking part in my swerve.
You are Sheamus and I'm Cesaro, and I guess we're going to just team up on this one.
We don't have to get along.
yeah, exactly. We won't be going to bar and drinking beers. You'll have a beer.
Yeah. You'll do a shot of real Coke.
Yeah, I'll do a shot of real Coke like I did in Arizona after WrestleMania 26.
Right, the party.
Yes. Let's get into your surprise question.
All right.
Scott, our surprise question this week is the second of three questions from Chris Esparza.
Threesa.
Second of five questions. Threesa. His question, I think you're actually going to have, you might have to think about it a little bit, but I think you're going to have fun with this one.
Oh man, I don't like thinking on a podcast.
This is supposed to be our dumb down time.
Right.
We're hella dumb.
Like, we're speeding toward adios at this point. I mean, come on.
Of all the new FTC figures pending releases, Young Bucks seem to be the one that everyone is all worked up about. That's true.
Yes, I do not dispute that at all.
Chris said that he's not familiar with the Young Bucks work. He has only heard about them through the Smark community. If you were to give him one match and one match only to watch to make or break his introduction to the Bucks, what would it be?
Wow. Okay, so dude, this would be like the perfect spot to get Mike the Cleaner on the phone.
Phone a friend.
Yeah, because Mike would not only have a number one, but he would also have a 1A, a 1B, a 1C. All the way to like 1ZZ. Like, like, dude, how do you pick a favorite Young Bucks match?
My favorite is 1FFF. Or double D.
Yeah, Mike is definitely the biggest Young Bucks fan. Well, I mean, next to you, that yes. I know. I know the Young Bucks primarily from PWG.
Uh-huh.
So that, I have to go off of that database in my head. My favorite Young Bucks match from PWG is the match that Super Dragon came back for, and it was the Guerrilla Warfare match against Steen and Super Dragon. It was brutal. It was fun. It was spot filled. I loved it. And I'll still put that DVD on today and watch that match. It's so much fun. They also had a ladder match against the Super Smash Brothers.
Yep.
I do not recall. I'd have to go back and look and put it on our Twitter. I'd have to go back and look and see which PWG DVD that's on. But if you get a chance, I highly recommend checking that one out. It's awesome. You can go to the PWG website and look it up in their DVD list. Just an awesome match against Player Uno and Player Dos. But I would say those two are probably my favorite two Young Bucks matches. And let me also say, I can't wait for those figures to come out.
That one is drawing great excitement and everybody's ready. You can need to get your pre-orders in on that one, by the way. Because yeah. they might actually sell out before the pre-orders are finished.
Right. And here's the thing, too. So they did a re-release of the ROH guys.
Yes.
And they came in two packs and four packs. So do you wait for the two packs of the Young Bucks to come out? My answer is no immediately. Like, no way.
Yep.
Not waiting. But, dude, if they do the first two-pack of the Bucks in a variant outfit, oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know, man.
Take my money. Like, I may as well give them, like, a direct line to my bank account. Like, if ever you're going to release Young Bucks figures, just take the money out and ship me the figures. Don't even ask.
No questions asked. No eye
contact. No questions asked. As many variants as you want. I have no problem. Their gear is amazing. Just take the money.
If you want to catch a good Young Bucks match, just look up one where they throw about 60 super kicks, which is about every match.
Yes.
Seriously, just throw a rock and you'll stumble upon a great Young Bucks match. I remember watching one on Access TV from New Japan.
Yep.
And it was the Bucks versus Red Dragon versus Kushida and Alex Shelley. They were called the Time Splitters.
The Time Splitters, yep.
Against Roppongi Vice. And I think that kicked off Wrestle Kingdom 8. Or is it Wrestle Kingdom 9? Oh, that's going to drive me nuts. I'll have to fact check that.
Mike the Cleaner, where are you?
But that match was so amazing. And I can't say enough good things about that match. And it was only like 10, 15 minutes. But that match was so much fun. Their ROH days against the Briscoes. The ROH days against the American Wolves.
Yes.
There are so many matches. PWG, throw a rock, man. You will see a good Young Bucks match.
They're all awesome. And they feuded with World's Cutest Tag Team as well. Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae. And the matches that they had were awesome. They did the super kick to Candice LeRae when Matt had tacks on the bottom of his shoe.
Yes.
Like, dude, what? Are you kidding me? Just every match they have is just amazing. Those guys are awesome. But again, if I had to throw two out there, I've got to go the Guerrilla Warfare against Steen and Super Dragon. And their ladder match against the Super Smash Brothers. Those would be two of my favorites from PWG.
Wasn't there a match just recently at PWG where they faced Ospreay, Ricochet, and Evan Bourne or something like that? It was the Elite with Adam Cole against those three?
Yeah, something like that. I was actually looking at PWG DVDs probably within like the last 2 weeks. And yeah, there was something like that. They did a lot of six-mans because they've got Mount Rushmore, Matt Rushmore 2.0. And it's them and Cole and... At one point, it was Roderick Strong, but he's gone. And Super Dragon was in there at one point, but he's gone. But yeah, they did a lot of teaming with Adam Cole. In fact, one of their matches was a six-man with them and Adam Cole against, I forget the other three guys, but one of them was Kenny Omega.
I got a message, my buddy Fred, who used to do the Kayfabe Connection podcast. He is so close to completing the whole PWG library. Like he's like... 8 DVDs away, I think.
Oh, man. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. If he starts a subscription service, I'll be the first one to sign up. If he could do streaming, that would be amazing.
I know. He's listening. I hope that answers your question. Definitely look at their PWG work.
Yeah. Go to the PWG website. Look at their list of DVDs. It has every match that's on the card. Grab anything that has Young Bucks versus blank and blank. It's going to be awesome.
Outside of that match, or whatever match the Young Bucks were having that night, PWG is just so much fun. We've had this spiel before on their show. PWG is just so much fun to watch.
Oh, it's a blast.
I know a lot of people don't like cruiserweights, or a lot of people don't like that type of wrestling, so it's not their forte. But for us,
yeah,
we seem to love this.
Yeah, no, it's just a lot of fun. The crowd makes it fun too. And I'm sure you've seen on YouTube the part where they go in slow motion.
Oh, that was so funny.
The crowd starts to chant, "This is awesome," in slow motion. And they're jumping up and down in slow motion and playing along because Excalibur's got the commentary going in slow-mo. The wrestlers are going in slow motion. The fans are in slow motion. It's just the crowd makes it fun.
It's such a good atmosphere.
Oh, it's a blast.
When are we heading down there, by the way?
I don't know, man. The tricky part is getting the tickets, as we've talked about on the podcast before. Trying to get tickets is nearly impossible. It's like getting the golden ticket in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but like... I think next year we have to make it a point to go.
I say we go for DDT.
I'm with that.
When is DDT? Memorial Day?
Usually in February, but they move that date around, so I'm not sure when it is going to be next year.
Let's make that happen.
Yeah.
All right, Scott. For this week, we are doing Who Booked This?
Does it qualify as Who Booked This Crap?
Do you think this one deserves crap?
No.
Yeah, I think Rick Rude, LJN deserve crap.
Yes. Vibrating wrestlers absolutely deserve crap.
Yes. This one, I kind of see where they were going with, but it still makes us scratch our head like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So find out who it is after the break. Scott, this week we are doing Who Booked This? So what figures did we decide upon this week?
So these figures were made by Jax. We're going to go ahead and take our focus off of Hasbro and LJN this week. And we're going to look at Jax. And we've already talked poorly of their Bone Crunching line. Well, at least the original series, because it wasn't the greatest, but it got a little bit better. But then they started to branch out a little bit. And we've kind of talked about on the podcast in the past about sometimes they have an offshoot of the main line that's pretty good. And then other times you have things like Stomp from Jax. These figures were supposed to be, I don't know if they were going for like a G.I. Joe type of thing where they wanted the wrestlers to be soldiers because they came with guns and helmets and backpacks and rocket launchers and in Ahmed Johnson's armor case, a straw hat. Strange. But they were going for something different. Much like Mattel is going for something different with the zombies, Jax went for something different in the way of soldiers. And it fell flat. And it lasted 4 series, which is probably how many of the zombies are going to go. But that's a different story for a different time. Stomp went 4 series in the Bone Crunching figure. They were still the same, pretty much the same figures, like the Bone Crunching look. Same sculpts. Maybe a little bit worse, but you name a big guy from the late 90s, and he was in this line. They did pretty much everyone. One line was basically all D-Generation X and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And yep. I think that was the last series that they did, but they did an Owen Hart. They did an Ahmed Johnson. They did a Brian Pillman in Series 1, which is the only Stomp that I bought.
Yep.
But you name them, they put them out, and they were all pretty much crap.
Yeah, it was a mashup of army men and wrestling guys.
Yeah, it was like Jax WWE or WWF meets G.I. Joe.
Yep.
And it just, to me, it didn't work. I do remember Series 1 being difficult to find, especially the Pillman.
The Pillman was the most difficult one to find.
Yeah, I had a hard time finding Pillman. Did end up finding him, and I did buy him.
Where'd you find him at?
KB Toys.
In Livermore?
No, actually at Stone Ridge Mall in Pleasanton.
Oh, okay.
Yep, found him there. But just, I was not a fan of this series or this line at all. Like I said, it went 4 series. I'm amazed it went that long. And for some reason, Ahmed Johnson came with a straw hat, which I have yet to figure out what that was all about. I mean, he didn't come with a corn on the cob cigar or anything like that, or a, oh crap, what do you call it? A pipe? He didn't come with that. Yeah, he didn't come with a corn on the cob pipe or anything, but he did come with a straw hat. And I want to say he was in like overalls or something. So they went like full redneck with Ahmed Johnson for some weird reason. And it was a bad sculpt. Like the head, yeah. The head on it was terrible.
Yes.
It looked like Mr. Hankey. Like it was bad. Really bad. So yeah, I don't know who booked the Stomp line. Again, like I said, we've talked about it in podcasts in the past. They try to do different things to try to drum up more interest in the figure line, to try to attract the kid walking down the toy aisle and see this cool figure that comes with guns or whatever. To me, it was a total miss.
I agree with you. And like you said, there's a reason it only went 4 series.
Yes.
And probably what the zombies will be doing.
Yes, I agree.
It was just a complete miss. Like every figure was bad too. The Pillman's face was, man, we talk about so many faces being off nowadays. That was just horrid.
Yeah. Yeah. They hadn't figured out how to really do a lot of the guys yet. And some of them really came off looking like that. They even made the headbangers in these. Yeah. So like I said, you name a guy or a team from the late 90s, chances are good he made it into the first four series of this line and only four series of this line. But yeah, just really a bad idea and a total strikeout. And I want to know who booked this.
You will not get crap because we kind of understand where you're going with this.
Yeah, but we kind of get it. We kind of get it. But I can guarantee in about 3 or 4 years, once the zombies have dried up, I think they're going to make the Who Booked This Crap segment.
We can't wait.
Yeah, spoiler.
Every figure was a miss. It almost like they took their figures that they had extra of laying around.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and put army stuff on them.
Yeah, yeah. They basically just emptied out the warehouse and just made some accessories and boom, we'll call it Stomp. So I'm guessing Stomp stood for something. I haven't quite found out what that was yet. Somebody had a witty response that it was snakes traveling on a MF'n plane. I don't know if there's any truth to that. I don't know that the movie was out actually when that Stomp line came out. But anyway, I'm guessing it's not true. But yeah, it stood for something. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure the word military is in there somewhere. That's what they were going for. It was a miss. Again, I can't really call it crap because like you said, we kind of understand what they were going for. They were trying to widen out their range to try to appeal to some kids walking down the toy aisle. I get that. But the figures looked bad. The accessories weren't that great. For some reason, Ahmed Johnson was a redneck. Total miss. Who booked it?
Well, Scott, before we sign off, we want to wish everyone a happy and merry Christmas. For all your figures that you receive, please take pictures, tag us in them, we'll retweet them, we'll like them. We hope you have a happy and safe Christmas. Follow us on Twitter and YouTube, Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. Go back to any of our podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. And also purchase the Fig Life t-shirt, hashtag Fig Life t-shirt. $25 flat, free shipping on that. Scott, for episode 49, anything else?
Yeah, before we go, I have to do something.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so something pretty historical happened within the last couple weeks.
Was it a bowel movement?
No, I tend to have those about once a day, so it hasn't been history making yet. But something historical happened within the last couple weeks, and something historical ended within the last week. New Day broke Demolition's tag team title record, which was pretty amazing. That was a long, long time standing. I didn't know that it would ever be broken, given today's state of wrestling, but New Day broke it. Amazing. And less than a week later, lost the tag team titles. So what I'd like to do before we let our listeners go is to just have a quick moment of silence for the New Day's tag team title reign. So if you'll indulge me, I'd like to have a moment of silence.
That's Francesca.
What it was not was silence.
Oh, it's a 10-horn saloon.
But that's not silence.
Oh,
silence.
How long do we do the silence for?
Till the count of 5, which we'll do in our head so we maintain silence.
3, sir.
Fine, 3.
Yeah, because a referee counts.
All right, screw it. We don't need a moment of silence, but I'm pretty devastated that it ended and RIP New Day's record-breaking reign.
Another makeshift tag team. That's what drives me insane, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, and now technically Primetime Players, makeshift team. They won it from the makeshift tag team of New Day.
No, I think the Primetime Players were... You mean when they won it the first time?
The Players, yeah. Because New Day beat Primetime Players for the belts, right?
Yeah. Weren't the Primetime Players... Were they a makeshift tag team?
I believe so, yeah.
I thought they were brought in together.
No, because Darren Young was in Nexus.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so those were two guys thrown together, right? So backtracking a little bit, Primetime Players beat New Day. New Day had beaten the makeshift tag team of Tyson Kidd and Cesaro.
Which actually was a really good tag team.
No, it totally was. But, you know, we've kind of griped that there's all these makeshift tag teams thrown together, but they also have a nice little organic movement going where you have teams like American Alpha and Enzo and Cass, but yet the tag team title holders are all these makeshift tag teams.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. And the trend continues, because now Cesaro and Sheamus are the tag champs.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. It's just a bunch of makeshift tag teams. Stop it.
Yeah, knock it off, dude. You have good homegrown talent that are tag teams.
Boy, Vince cannot wait to move those titles off of New Day after they broke the record, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, all right, get them off them now.
I got to give props to the editor. She said, she goes, I think Sheamus and Cesaro are going to win the belts tonight. And I was like, no, they won't do it until Rumble or Mania, because they got to do it at a big pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Sure enough, they do it at Roadblock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah. That'll be our Who Booked This Crap segment next week. Anyway.
Although I got to say, I do like the new Raw Tag titles.
No, I do too. I like them. I do like them.
Not better than the SmackDown titles, but...
No, but pretty much along the same ilk. You know, you have the Raw color along with the silver plating, so it works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were supposed to do a moment of silence.
Nah, the moment's passed. We've aww, grieved New Day's title loss sufficiently.
R.I.P. New Day. It is not a new day. Yes, it is.
And it's definitely not old day.
Scott, for episode 49, anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
Merry Christmas to all, and hashtag fig life. Adios. Like what I did there, Scott?
I like what you did there.
Adios.